from Everbank Field. 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Brought to you every Wednesday by Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs in home and for your business. Metro Rooter at MetroRooter.com and 695-1911. Our Wednesday sponsor here on Jaguars Today, live at Everbank. As Tony, they load up the buses, head to the airport tomorrow, and hop across the pond to London. Change of scenery cannot hurt this team. Doesn't mean it'll help this team. Hasn't helped them in the last couple of years. In fact, they've gone pretty poorly, the performances over in London, but I don't think it matters so much where they play. It's how they play, and the question is, are they going to play any better this week?
Sure, and they got a big opportunity with some of the injuries the Buffalo's dealing with. They don't know who's playing quarterback for the Buffalo Bills yet, and honestly, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or EJ Manuel, it shouldn't scare you. This is a team that in the Buffalo Bills that has played pretty well against very bad competition, which makes you feel not so good about the matchup with the Jacksonville Jaguars this week, and honestly has struggled with teams that are any good in this league. This is not a great Buffalo team. This is an okay Buffalo team that the Jags are playing, and they're going to be playing an okay Buffalo team without Sammy Watkins, without Percy Harvin, without one of their big-time defensive tackles, possibly without their quarterback, without a running back that has been an emerging star for that team this year, and a gimpy LeSean McCoy. They ought to be a team that, this is a team that the Jaguars, if they're going to turn anything around in 2015, ought to be able to beat. Doesn't mean I think they're going to, but ought to be able
to beat. So in other words, the fourth week in a row, it's the same situation. A
yeah,
team they ought to be able to beat.
That's why the frustration level is as high as it is.
No doubt.
It's not like if they had played teams, if it, say this four-game stretch had been New England and Denver and, you know, teams that are rolling through their
sure.
season right now, and you had played competitively outside of that New England game against these other three teams, you'd be sitting there going, well, that was just a really tough stretch. I wish we could have found a way to get one. But the truth is, you've played a team with a 40-year-old quarterback and a rookie quarterback who turned it over four times the week before that, and you had a fourth-quarter lead at home against a bad Houston team, and now you're playing a banged-up Buffalo team over there in London. That's the reality. And they've gone 0-3 to this point in that stretch. They got to get one. They have to get one.
They don't have to. I mean, they you'd like them to.
To change the conversation, they
granted,
have to get one.
Yes, yes. Certainly no guarantee. I'm not feeling any particular confidence that that's going to occur. I don't know how much of the Jags fan base does either. That doesn't matter. That won't impact their play on the field. They're either going to win or they're going to lose, no matter if any individual or group of individuals has confidence in their performance or not on Sunday morning, as it turns out. And here in Jacksonville, you get to see it on TV. Yahoo's going to stream it across the country. So probably as many people as typically see the Jags on their television sets will see them in a given week, because outside of the visiting market or the other team's market, they're not shown in too many markets. That's just the way it is.
Sure.
That's never bothered me, as long as you get to see your Jags here locally. Now, for Jaguar fans spread out across the country, who can't go to a sports bar where they typically congregate to watch Jaguar football or on Dish Network or whatever, you have to make the appropriate arrangements. Watch it on your tablet, watch it on your laptop, whatever the case may be. You'll figure out a way to watch the game, I would suspect. Shad Khan gave the interview to Connor Orr of NFL.com. He talked a lot about London and how that is going, and he thinks it's been a big success. And I think, you know, financially it has been a boon to the Jaguar franchise. We've talked about that a lot the last couple of off seasons on this program, Tony. But Shad also said, I didn't want to scoop anything, but tomorrow could be a big day in terms of an announcement. So if you're going to talk about an extension of the London deal,
yeah,
expect that to come sometime tomorrow. Maybe not while we're on the air, although 5-hour time difference over there in the UK. We don't know what Shad will be up to, but at some point tomorrow, I expect to hear about how the Jaguars are extended through whatever year that is. 2030 was thrown around earlier this summer. Whatever it is, it's going to be a long-term extension beyond the current deal, which runs out after the 2016 season.
Sure, and that's something, this is the second time he's teased that announcement, because we did have, you know, earlier this offseason where Shad Khan said something's coming later this year.
Right.
Where they're going to announce something, and it certainly feels like that announcement tomorrow is going to be about the Jags extending their stay in London and nothing about your coaching staff after what he had to say yesterday to Mr. Orr.
Here are a couple of his comments, and we'll talk about this a lot today. And you can weigh in on the London side of things as well if you choose to. Today, really, any aspect of Jaguar football is pretty much on the table on this program. But he was asked about how he feels about Blake Bortles and Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley and the direction his franchise is headed. And he said in regards to Bortles, you know, it's basically you have to give Blake Bortles some more time, and what you're doing and what are you doing, excuse me, to make him the next Tom Brady, question mark. Some of these are pretty well thought out. Others are a little more superficial. He's talking about the questions that he gets about Blake Bortles. I think he feels, as he said, if you look at the metrics, he feels Blake Bortles is progressing. He says exactly that, quote, "I think if you look at metrics, Blake is a second-year quarterback. I think he's doing much better, quite frankly. I think there's a lot of work to do, and Gus and Dave have done a lot of the heavy lifting. We're to the stage now where we'll be seeing some of the results. Not where we are seeing some of the results, but we're at the stage now where we'll be seeing them soon." What are those results other than improved performance? I do believe Blake Bortles is better this year. All the numbers suggest he's better. Is he still making mistakes? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Guys started, 18 games in the National Football League? I think that's the number. He's going to make some mistakes, but I think he's clearly better. He is developing. But the bottom line, the number that the fans are most concerned with right now is the wins, and there's only one of them. And he talked about Caldwell and Bradley. He said, "I'm very, very optimistic and believe in what they're doing. It's frustrating and maddening at times, but if you know football, regrettably, it's the right thing to do." He basically took a "we're going to be patient" approach. I'm invested in what they're doing. Now, long term, could be the end of the season, but it doesn't appear like anything prior to the end of the season is going to deter Shad Khan from keeping this unit together and giving them the chance to play out. Now, I think one thing that factors into this, to some small degree, is the first coach you hired, Mike Mularkey, got a year here, right? And he got fired. So I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I wonder if it's a factor in your decision-making if you do consider moving on from your coach. Do you want to at least wait till the end of the season so he got 3 full years in? Because when you go on your next coaching search, if you were to make a switch at that position, you don't want the field of candidates going, "Well, you know, do I really want to take a chance down there? Because if I don't get it going in the first year or two, I'm going to be out on my butt," right? And I think that could be a factor in the decision. But he has preached patience with this duo and thinks they're heading in the right direction, and he is optimistic and believes in what they're doing. So today the fan feedback spotlight asks you, the Jag fan, what's your reaction to that, good or bad? And you know what, we do hear the squeaky wheel from time to time, right? I mean, I understand that people who are upset and have something to complain about are more likely to speak up. You don't go to a restaurant, get great service, call for the manager and thank him, right? When you get poor service, that's when you call for the manager and you make your point. So people who are not happy are more likely to speak up, granted. So I am not trying to make this a let's bash Shad, let's bash the Jags. I'd like to hear from both sides. If you are an ardent supporter or a believer, or at least willing to accept that degree of patience that Shad is advocating, I want to hear from you as well. 641-1010 on the phone lines, and as well on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, 904-641-1010. So weigh in on that today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. What is your reaction to Shad Khan giving Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley votes of confidence in this NFL.com article? I couldn't put it quite like that when I tweeted it out, Tony, 140 characters or less, but that's the gist of it, is what is your reaction to that? And we've heard from one side of the ledger quite vehemently already. Want to hear from everybody. If you've got an opinion on it and you're on Twitter or you're on Facebook, you can certainly share those thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You can tweet me at MD_1010XL. You can tweet Tony at 1010XL, Fat Tony. And, of course, you can pick up the phone and call 641-1010 or text us at that same number. All right, it's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Just getting started. Plenty of reaction from you. We'll hear from John Osier as he's getting ready to hop on a plane tomorrow with the team and head over to Europe. And we'll also have your weekly JOI injury report. What's the latest on the status of several of these Jacksonville Jaguars as they get ready to head into Week 7 in the National Football League? Brett, brought to you by Metro Rooter every Wednesday. It's Jaguars Today, live from Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. We'll get out to the phone lines here momentarily. I want to read one or two tweets here as we get started, as today we're asking you, what's your reaction to Sean Conn basically giving a vote of confidence to Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley, at least at this point in the season? It seems to indicate no coaching changes in the offing, regardless of the outcome in London. I know a lot of people make what I think is a somewhat logical conclusion that if a change is going to be made in season, it's going to happen on a bye week to give the incoming or interim coach the opportunity to have an extra amount of time to prepare his team for any philosophical changes, personnel changes, strategy changes, what have you. But based on Shad Khan's comments to NFL.com, doesn't look like that's on the table. So we ask you, what is your reaction to that? Here's one tweet from Black Dog. He goes, I'm all in with the idea, vision, attitude, and intelligence of the, and then in all caps, billionaire. As if to say, because you have a lot of money, that every decision you make is going to be right. You realize almost every pro sports owner in the United States of America is a billionaire. There are a lot of bad sports owners. I'm not saying Shad Khan is one of them. But to point to the fact that he's a billionaire, thus his ideas, vision, attitude, and intelligence in this arena are going to play out, doesn't make any sense to me at all. You know, you could choose to believe that, and you may end up being right. But go pick the owner you think is the worst in pro sports. He's probably a billionaire, and he probably had vision and intelligence and all those other things that helped him compile his fortune, unless he fell into the family money, which happens as well. But look, Sean Conn's a self-made man. He is a brilliant man. He is the American dream. I think he's going to be a great owner for this franchise. Doesn't mean every decision he makes is going to be the right one. I'm not saying even that this is the wrong one, but to predicate it based on the fact that he's a billionaire, that to me is a meaningless argument, practically, because who isn't? There are probably a handful of owners that aren't, Tony, and they're probably worth about $750 million or more, and they're probably, you know, majority owners of the team with some kind of consortium of others out there, whatever the case
may
be.
Well, Dan Snyder's a billionaire. He's a football fool. Right. He's an idiot.
And every time Tyler brought up in the break, James Dolan may be the worst owner in sports, owns the Knicks. He's a multi-billionaire.
And every time he tries to insert himself into any decision with that football team, it gets messed up. And that's why people who may be billionaires and brilliant businessmen, which is why they become billionaires generally, put the football stuff in the hands of football people and trust them to make the right decisions. And Shad Khan sounds like a guy who is still, at least for now, bought into whatever plan Gus and Dave sold him. He sounds like he's still invested in this plan, at least for the present, and we'll see if he's proven right or wrong. And by the way, that would be the billionaire that made the decision to bring Dave Caldwell, if you think that Dave Caldwell isn't the guy. The billionaire hired him. That was the decision that he made, so that would be a bad decision for this franchise if that's how it turns out. Doesn't make Shad Khan any less of a good businessman. It just means that he might have made the wrong decision in this particular case. It's still to play out a little
right.
bit.
Right, or it may turn out that patience is the right way to go. Time will tell. I mean, there are always people that get in there, and you hear this, you're like, the man on the street, you don't know more than the GM. People act like they know more. Well, there are bad GMs out there. Matt Millen was a bad GM in Detroit. He was a football player, probably a pretty smart guy, I would imagine. Didn't help him put together a winning franchise with the Detroit Lions. Gene Smith here was a hardworking grinder, lifer, football guy. Did not help him to be a good general manager. Regardless, let's get some of your reaction on the phones today, basically to what Shad Khan had to say in terms of giving a vote of confidence, if you will, to Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell. Let's see, Tyler, who you got first up on the line, if you would tell me? Bill, going to lead us off today on 1010X. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Morning. I didn't play the game, but I will go to somebody who knows a lot about it, Jimmy Johnson. Was on the other morning or the other day on Fox, their broadcast. And basically, without calling out Gus Bradley individually, he basically said that this is all on the coach. That there's enough talent on this team, and the bonehead mistakes and stuff like that are happening is solely on the lack of preparation of the coaching staff. That they are not putting these guys mentally in the right spot. And when I hear Gus say things like, well, we've got to instill, or we got to teach how to finish a game. I'm like, what have you been doing to this point? I'm like, and these guys are professional athletes. You shouldn't have to teach them how to win. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I like Gus. Seems like a really wonderful guy, but he should have never been hired. I said that when they hired him. If you even look at his coaching pedigree, he coached at some crappy college. He wasn't even a head coach. Then he goes to Seattle for a couple of years, and then he's a head coach in the NFL. I just don't get what Shad Khan is thinking there. And if they go and get blown out again like they did by San Francisco and Shad doesn't change the coach, I'm going to get really, really scared, because either he doesn't know what he's doing or he's just making just bad decisions.
Well, if they get blown out, you can consider yourself scared, because based on Shad's comments, there's no coaching change or in the offing for this football team. There's no change in anything in the offing, at least mid-season, for this football team.
If that's your expectation, you're going to be disappointed in 8 days. I'm just telling you, if your expectation is that Gus Bradley isn't going to be the head coach of the Jags, you're going to be disappointed in 8 days, because he's going to be the head coach of the Jets.
Or surprised, however you want to look at it.
Right. I mean, that's what Shad Khan said without saying it yesterday, essentially, is that Gus is going to be here, and it sounds like he's going to get at least to the end of 2015. And there are fans out there who aren't going to be happy about that decision. And look, Shad Khan, when we talk about him being a good businessman, he's a smart enough guy to know, look, they're 1-5. Right? And the product isn't good. He just had a home game last Sunday after 3 losses in a row to New England, Indianapolis, and Tampa Bay, where they sold fewer tickets than they have since 2009 here in Jacksonville. 58,085 tickets were sold for that game against Houston here in Jacksonville. They're going to play Buffalo this week, and then after a bye, they're on the road for 2 weeks against the Jets and Baltimore. There's a possibility that the Jacksonville Jaguars could be coming home for the first time in 5 weeks with a 1-8 record on Thursday Night Football against Tennessee in front of 50,000 people. He knows that. And when he says what he says about Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, he knows that's a real possibility, that he's already watching his fan base fall apart a little bit with this guy as the leader of his football team, and he's still willing to say what he said yesterday. He's taking all of that kind of stuff into account. I guarantee you he can't not be. He's too good a businessman not to.
Right, and look, I have respect for Shad. Shad is saying that, look, we did it the wrong way the first year. Got stuck with a GM that got a 3-year out the door extra contract from Wayne Weaver.
Yeah.
That was like a presidential.
It was like a year buffer
Christmas
to figure out what he was going to do.
Right. So, okay, we hired Dave Caldwell. I committed to a vision of building it through a certain way. And if I'm committed to these guys, that was the vision they've laid out to me. We don't know what the conversations are like behind closed doors. He's ultimately the arbiter of this because, like you said, Tony, he takes in everyone's opinions. He knows, as he's determined, the fans, as he defined them, are the paying customers. You know, people have issue with the paying customer line. That's how Shad defined fans. They're the ones who buy the Jaguar tickets. They're the paying customers. Those are the fans. That's our clientele.
Yep.
He hears what you're saying. I guarantee he hears what you're saying.
And he knows that number is shrinking. But he knows the number is shrinking right now because of the results of this team.
But just because he hears a segment of the fan base, and we don't know what he's hearing from other people, Tony, who may be saying, you know what? I'm down with it. I'm patient. I understand. I've got you may disagree with all these things that are coming out of my mouth right now, but there are people out there as well who say, hey, I'm okay with it. In fact, I've heard from people already this morning, I'm not only okay with it for this year, but all of next year as well. I want to make sure Gus gets a full 4 years to see what he can really do with this team. That's their point of view. Those are paying customers as well. So it's not just like one group. The people who buy tickets are all of a same mind. We hear quite often from the ones who want change, and that's fine. And that's what we're asking for today. Whatever side you're on, what is your reaction to Shad Khan's vote of confidence for Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley? Let's go to Ronald on the north side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ronald.
Hey, good morning. I believe in the power of positivity, but I like to hear a little Jerry Jones in him. He's a little more Donald Sterling. I mean, I hope he's not just about the bottom line. I mean, we've got a wonderful stadium. He's selling the team overseas. I mean, Jacksonville is set up to be, I mean, the world's team because we're playing over there all the time. But like I said, I like to hear him crack the whip a little bit. And I love that call Bill just made, because Gus seems like he's on OJT. And maybe Chad's going to stick with the guy. You know, I mean, I've settled down a little bit. I was angry all, you know, after Sunday and all that. I've calmed down a little bit. But I'm just concerned about the scheme. I mean, Mercedes Lewis, I mean, is he an offensive tackle now? I thought we was going to have a double tight end set up. If they're going to abandon the run, which it appears that's what they're doing. We got Toby here. We brought him. He's supposed to be a bell cow. We got, I know Yeldon's a little bit hurt. Robinson's good. We don't get a running chance. We're down 4 points, 14-10 most of these games, and we just abandon the run. So, I mean, if they're just going to open it up, let Bortles throw it 40, 50 times a game, I don't understand the scheme of the offense. And I think Gus, like I say, he's getting an OJT, and Charles behind him. But I seriously think, I know what he said, but if we get blown out by Buffalo, I wouldn't be surprised if he changes his mind. I know what he said.
Ronald, what would he look like if he said that and then one game later he blows out the coach?
It happens.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, things happen.
No, all right. It's not going to happen. I mean, if you believe that can happen, I'm not going to convince you otherwise. I appreciate the call. Look, it's your opinion. You're entitled to it. That to me shows an incredible level of denial. That shows you how bad some people want change here, Tony, that the owner can come out and basically say, no change is coming for the time being. And they're still clinging to hope that within a week, there's going to be a major philosophical change when Shad Khan just made these statements. He does not strike me as the kind of guy that's going to say this and within a week's time, reverse course completely. Just not going to happen.
No, I totally agree with you. And for all the people out there that have been holding the opinion now since Shad Khan bought this team that the whole thing is just some big conspiracy so that he can eventually move this team to London, and he's only tearing it down as far as he possibly can so that he can just move this team, then why has he been doing anything he's been doing to upgrade facilities here in Jacksonville? How do those people answer those questions? Why is the locker room new? Why do you have these big scoreboards in this stadium now? Why is there a plan for what may happen in downtown Jacksonville that is fronted by, I don't know, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Why do all those things exist if the plan was to tear it down as far as he possibly can and then get out of town in the moving van? That theory makes zero sense.
Moving ship,
right?
It would be.
The team stinks right now because the team stinks right now, not because Shad Khan said it's not the Cleveland Indians trying to get to Miami in Major League, right? It's not that kind of story. It's just that the team is really, really bad right now and needs to find a way out of this hole.
Let's go to Sam up next here on 1010XL. Good morning, Sam.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
How you doing? I've been a fan for about 12 plus years now. I'm from Detroit. You don't hear about Jacksonville Jaguar fans over here. It's impossible. So what I'm trying to get at here is, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you fine.
What I'm trying to get at here is, it's really embarrassing that I could try to convince my buddies and my friends who are Steeler fans or Packer fans that, you know what, we're on the come up. We're coming up. We're going to produce this season. And then you have a coach who challenges a call on a catch that was an obvious catch, and whether or not the catch standard or not, it was going to be a first down because of a defensive holding. That's one. Number two, I went to Indianapolis. I drove to Indianapolis week four to watch them lose the game and shoot themselves in the foot again. Number three, I've seen more 12 men on the field calls than I could remember being a fan in the last 12 years. I don't put it all in the coaching. You see John Cyprian doing bonehead mistakes, like knocking the quarterback in the helmet when you could have got off the field. I see mistakes like Jared Odrick. I mean, I understand what he was doing, but you're coming out there yelling and snapping and doing what you got to do. But at the same time, too, that's uncalled for. Missed tackles. Bob Babich needs to go. The offensive line has improved. What I'm trying to get at here is it's really frustrating, you know? And I understand why people are calling for the coaching change, but I don't put it all on the coach. I don't put it all on the coach.
All right. Hey, Sam, we appreciate the call. Interesting Jag fan checking in from Detroit there. It's not ever usually as simple as one simple thing, that it's the coach. Sometimes the coach gets fired because You can't fire all the players, right? You know,
that's what happened in Miami. Honestly, that's what happened in Miami. Is it was a bunch of players that they had put together and expected a much better product, and they weren't getting it, and they couldn't fire Ndamukong Suh and Cameron Wake and all these guys. So they made a decision, and it was the head coach that went, and for a week at least, it worked. We'll see what it does in the long term.
Was Joe Philbin keeping Cameron Wake from having that four-sack game?
No.
Why was he non-existent for the first four games of the year? They had their bye already, so they only played five.
No, I'm with you.
Was Joe Philbin trying to hold him back in that instance? But, look, that's ultimately, you're the coach. You're responsible for everything that happens on your football team. So, fairly or unfairly, the buck is going to stop with you. And sometimes you're going to take the fall for players who didn't perform up to the standards. And as the previous caller, Ronald, I think, brought up the thing with Mercedes Lewis, they do run a lot of two tight end offense. But I don't want them throwing to Mercedes Lewis when you've got Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson making plays out there and Julius Thomas now back.
No.
There are not enough balls to go around for Mercedes Lewis and the lack of plays that he has been able to make. So, look, most two tight end offenses have an inline blocking tight end and a receiving tight end. Most of them are not the Gronkowski-Hernandez variety circa a few years ago up in New England where they're both dynamic pass-catching threats. That is extremely rare in the National Football League.
Yep.
It'd be nice if Mercedes was a passable pass-catching threat. Doesn't have to be dynamic. Just a mediocre one would be an upgrade at this point in time. But that's just real talk coming at you right now. Let's go coming back with John Osier. He'll weigh in from Jaguars.com. We'll take more of your calls at 641-1010. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. We're live at EverBank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's time for Oh No's with Jaguars.com's John Osher.
Oh No's.
Presented by Florida Pump Service on Jaguars Today.
All right, we'll get to the Boston's Restaurant Sports Bar text line coming up. Tyler says a flood of texts coming our way. I haven't opened it up yet today, but
there's
sure
a bunch
in there. They're not going away. We'll get to you coming up shortly. John Osier is the senior writer for Jaguars.com. I'm sure an award-winning episode of .com Live coming up some point today.
Yeah, I'll give him some award. Sure, why not?
All right, what award do you think would be appropriate for .com Live? Is there an existing one, or would you create one yourself?
Probably create one. Probably that.
What would that be? Maybe that could be our next Wednesday question of the day. What category would you put .com Live in, if in like an awards presentation?
All I know is it's quite a scene.
Greatest,
when it goes on, it's quite
greatest
a scene.
Broadcast ever.
Yeah.
Period.
I mean, just go big or go home.
Period.
That's right.
What do you got cooking up today on the broadcast, on the show?
Denard Robinson will be talking to J.P. Shatter after I leave, because Denard really doesn't want to be involved with anything I'm involved with.
Understood.
So I'll talk Jags a little while, then go listen to Blake Bortles. That's kind of my Wednesday routine.
That's a good thing. That's not
what
a
I
bad
do.
Routine to have. Then tomorrow you hop on a plane and head to London.
That's right. And back to Blake. It'll be interesting to hear from Blake today, because it was a tough game for him on Wednesday. I mean, on Monday. And you sort of wonder if you sort of hope some of the things that happened on Sunday, this is sort of that stage in his career where you want to see those things start to not happen. So does he turn this into a turning point? Does he turn this into where the red zone interceptions, you know, I'm still not sure the pass to Julius in the middle of the field that turned into a pick six wasn't more miscommunication than it was bad play by Blake. But as a quarterback, you want to stop having that feeling after the game of, man, a couple of things I did here, we could have gotten that one. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to that game the other day.
I'm sure he's going to put, I would imagine, I say I'm sure, but I, you know, knowing what how Blake typically handles himself, I would imagine he's going to take a lot of the responsibility for it. That's
yeah, and how you move forward from that.
Let me ask
more than
you,
anything.
We talk about responsibility or accountability, right, quite a bit lately. Gus Bradley has brought that up. He talks about, you got to have more accountability. You got to have more accountability. I've heard what he had to say on it. I quite frankly, was a little bit confused what he had to say on it. How would you characterize Gus Bradley's stance on accountability, and how do we see the results of that accountability if players are not playing well?
I think Gus's core thing is accountability needs to come from the players themselves in a lot of ways. He expects that. It's not like they haven't cut players in the past for underperforming. They cut Winston Guy last year. They cut Cameron Bradfield last year. At some point, you don't, as a coach, you don't want to cut the players who are your best players. So there is an element of, hey, at some point these guys got to take care of this themselves. These are the guys. So if accountability is benching, if that's what fans want, I guess I've never been that big on that. If the guys are your best guys and they're playing for a reason, play them and they got to figure it out. It's the NFL.
And as Gus said a couple weeks ago, I think it was, we know this league is tolerate until you can replace. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes that's what it comes down to. You have to tolerate poor play because the alternative that you have available to you right now could be worse than the one that you presently have.
And if it's, you know, for the most part, a lot of the mistakes have been this one over here, this one over here, this one over here. And I always kind of go back to the Chris Clemens play a couple weeks ago when he had the penalty in Indianapolis. Well, okay, he had a 15-yard penalty that extended a drive. At the same time, it was a penalty where Hasselbeck sort of ducked into the play. For Chris Clemens, it was a play of effort, and I don't really know how you avoid it. So do you bench him for that? You know, and there's a lot of difference. Devon House had some penalties on that drive, and they were penalties of aggression that happened with the defense. So do you bench him for that when you think he's your best cover corner? That's sort of the dilemma there. And so far they haven't said that anybody is doing repetitive things where it's become what they are enough to bench him. So does that change? You know, I don't know. But you better not bench a guy if you don't have a better alternative.
There's obviously been a lot of dissatisfied Jag fans, understandably so, right? For whether it's just based on this year, whether it's based on the overall record of Gus Bradley. We hear from them a lot. I know you hear from both sides as well. You don't hear as much. You hear when people are upset, you hear more from those people that are upset. That's human nature, and I get that. And you know, there's certainly a segment out there that is more patient than that's being reflected by another portion of the fan base. Doesn't mean anyone's opinion is wrong. You're a fan. You can feel however you like about the football team. But to me, in this article where Shad Khan gives an interview to Connor Orr of NFL.com, without directly stating it in these precise words, basically said, we're going to ride this out, at least for the rest of this year. I mean, based on reading his comments, I don't think there's any way that there's any kind of major philosophical staff changes, general manager, coach, whatever, at least coming from Shad Khan's directive down the line during the season.
And that makes sense because, you know, I'm not going to say that I've sat and talked face-to-face with Shad Khan this year about Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, but his MO since he took over, even when things were obviously going bad during the Mike Mularkey, Gene Smith year, he didn't do anything mid-season. I think the people that he talks to, the people that he trusts about the NFL, he's learned the NFL now as he was learning it, meaning Shad, generally don't believe that there's much to be gained from a midseason coaching change or a midseason regime change.
Dolphin fans probably arguing with you at least for a week.
What, with the Dolphins?
Yeah, I'm saying Dolphin fans are probably...
Let's see how that plays out.
I'm just saying for a week. That's what I said, for a week. I mean, they got an immediate result, played their best game of the year by far.
Right. The other side of that is I don't think that Shad necessarily believes that in the long term there's not improvement being made. So I would be very surprised anything happens during the season. And I would still be a little surprised unless this thing just goes 2-14, unless it's just big time margins the other way. I'd still be a little surprised if there's a change after the season.
What is your hope that if you're handicapping the win total for the year now, what is a reasonable expectation? You said if it goes 2-14, I think a lot of Jag fans think it's going to go that direction based on the teams they've lost to in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, at the same time, I'm not trying to put words in Shad's mouth because I don't know what's inside of his head.
Sure.
I know what he said, and I know his history on this. And what he said in this interview is very similar to what he said last year when he spoke in London and then after the season, that he believes in the process, he believes in these guys. He used the phrase last year, he could see behind the curtain, he knows how it's being built. So I think he sees improvement in terms of they've had a chance to win in the fourth quarter of 5 of the 6 games. That wasn't the case last year. Realistically, you've got 10 games left. You know, 5-11 might be optimistic at this point. 4-12, 5-11 in that range would be a good finish. Do I think they're going to do that? Until they start winning, it's hard to predict it.
Right.
You know, so, but 4-12, 5-11 would be a very good finish.
All right.
From this point.
From this point. I understood based on where they start. So that would mean they're going like, you know, 3-7,
but again,
4-6.
To listen to Shad, I don't know that he's necessarily sitting on the throne and playing judge and juror on based on victory total right now.
Understood.
I don't know if that's right or wrong, but that's what the comments and his history when he has talked about this, and there's certain points where he talks about it. After the season, London, owners' meetings, he has never really talked about there must be a win total. It's more about what I see in the build. Do I see improvement? For him, clearly so far, I haven't heard anything from him to indicate that he doesn't see that.
Yeah, he did. He said this year, I remember saying he's not going to mandate a win total
right.
at the Super Bowl when he was.
I think he interviews. Did that for a reason because they were a long way in a lot of games last year. So, in a sense, there is improvement to be made by not being a long way. That's very irritating to a lot of fans,
no
and
question.
I get that. And when I'm sitting in the press box on Sundays and I'm watching it, it's a little irritating to me. It's like, man, it would be a lot more fun to cover this team if they were winning.
You don't hang banners for having closer losses.
Right. At the same time, if you believe it's improving, and many don't, but if Shad believes it's improving, even at a slower rate than you might like, the question he has to ask himself, okay, this is improving. If I tear it up, if I make changes, am I going to stop that improvement? And that's really, we won't know what his answer to that question is until he answers it. And that's kind of an obvious thought, but if he decides not to make a change, then he feels like it's improving at a pace that he's satisfied with.
As Tony laid it out earlier, Bills don't know if their quarterback's playing this week. Carlos Williams, who's had a big impact in that backfield, probably not going to play. LeSean McCoy's
didn't travel.
Less than 100%.
Carlos didn't go with the team.
LeSean
probably
McCoy's less
play.
Than 100%. Top two wide receivers are out. Kyle Williams, one of their best defensive linemen, is out. Jags win this game, right?
Well,
isn't that the issue, right?
Go back and press rewind to what we said.
I hear you.
But as I've said a number of times, I really thought that they should have beaten the Texans. That was the one that I went into thinking they need to win this because it's at home, because everything lines up right. Sure, on paper, they should beat the Bills. But until they show you they're going to close one out.
There's no shoulds for now.
Right. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be saying a different thing, but I can't say that they should win when I haven't seen them close one out yet.
I think you keep saying they should win, and you keep being disappointed with the result if they don't. And
sure.
And that only makes the result when they if they do lose to Buffalo that much more frustrating because of all that other stuff too. I think you can continue to say this team should win this game. And that's a reflection also, again, of where this team is right now.
I guess
they're playing games they should win, and they're still losing them.
I guess I feel like Bortles is growing. I feel like these things sense like they're getting closer and closer to happening. And it's hard to say should until we see that, yeah, they went and got that drive and put him away. They got that sack, which, you know, there's no indication they're going to get it yet. At some point, you want to see them close that deal before you start saying, yeah, I feel like they're going to get it done this week. And I don't even like giving that answer, but that's the answer.
All right. Johnny, what do you got coming up from London? What will you be posting?
You know, not nearly as much London-centric stuff, frankly, because we're not getting there until Friday morning. We'll be covering practice on Friday. My hope and understanding is at some point we'll all talk to Shad Khan. I'm sure it, you know, hasn't been set up yet. The last 2 years we have. If he talks, that's the major story.
All right, there you go. John Osier, have a good trip, man. We'll see you next week.
Look forward to seeing you and look forward to
what are you talking about?
See you in London. No,
it is. You're not even
it's always good
yet.
To walk
you're
in
looking at me
pit.
Right now. And
yeah.
You're looking forward to seeing me next week.
I'm hoping it's better next week.
You're such a liar. All right, Johnny O, everybody, at John Osier on Twitter. And, of course, you can read him at Jaguars.com. Thank you, buddy. Have a good trip to London. All right, that's going to do it for this segment. Coming back with this date in football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. We'll get back to your calls and texts at 641-1010. Coming up in a moment, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. On this date in football history, October 21st, 1973, L.A. Ram defensive end Fred Dreyer became the first player to record two safeties in a game in the Rams' 24-7 victory over the Green Bay Packers. A little bit of an oddity there. Mm-hmm. College football on this date in 1989, Tony. Houston became the first major college team to gain 1,000 yards in a single game.
What year?
1989. Mm. I guess that's the Andre Ware club back then, right? He was a quarterback at that point in time into the early 90s.
I believe so, yeah.
1,000 yards in a single game. Famous birthdays for this date include Mo Lewis, NFL linebacker, 3 Pro Bowls, 1 first-team All-Pro nod, age 46, and most known for opening the door for Tom Brady, as he's the one who hit Drew Bledsoe, knocked him out of the game that Brady came in and never relinquished a job. So you're welcome, Patriot fans. 1978, Joey Harrington, former third overall pick, and I think it was third overall pick, right, at Detroit? Top 3 pick. Second or third for Detroit. Turns 37 years old today. An accomplished piano player. Good thing, because he wasn't much of a quarterback in the National Football League. And born on this date in 1981, straight out of the U, Willis McGahee. Mm. Torn ACL, didn't prohibit the Bills from drafting him in the first round. Went on to have a pretty good career, both with Buffalo and the Denver Broncos. He turns 34 years old today. 2-time Pro Bowler, Willis McGahee. This date in football brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. License number CCC 056797. If you need your home looked at, your roof in your house, your place of business, if you have a re-roof needed, maybe just a simple repair needed, have Bob Roberts come on out by giving them a call at 287-7756. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the dumbest play call of the year, and maybe the dumbest in my memory, got even dumber yesterday after Indianapolis Colts punter, that's right, punter Pat McAfee, did his weekly radio hit on the Bob and Tom show in Indianapolis and added to the stupidity. McAfee told the show that Griff Whalen had not practiced the play that week, that instead he was in there to replace an injured Clayton Gathers, who had been the center all week when the play was practiced. Ugh. So they ran it with a guy who had not done it the entire week as well.
But you know what? I still get the tweets from, Shad Khan better have Chuck Pagano on speed dial after this season.
Man.
Really? So you're going to hire the guy who now is the architect of arguably the dumbest play in the history of the National Football League.
It was ridiculous. And former Jaguars running back Storm Johnson and Bryce Brown both worked out for the Tennessee Titans yesterday, Tuesday, the off day when all that kind of stuff goes on around the league. So Storm getting another look from another team in the National Football League, at least.
Stormy weather going on here in Jacksonville. Let's see. Getting to... where are we going here? Let's move along. Going to get to some of these texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as they started coming in after 10 o'clock this morning. Vince Lombardi couldn't win with these guys. Terrible personnel decisions. Even now, why isn't... that's the problem with the text line. Your texts get cut off sometimes. Why isn't what? I'm not sure. But basically blaming on personnel. Here's one, Tony. Hey, guys, just a few stats for you here.
Yeah.
Carolina missed PAT from a tie at the half. Ooh, all right. We were almost tied at the half. Miami, W. Good one. I'll give you a thumbs up on that one.
We did it.
New England, blowout. Indy, we led at the half. Tampa, we had a lead in the third quarter. Houston, we had a lead in the fourth quarter. Here's your stat, 1-5. That's your stat.
Sounds like they're getting better.
I guess, right?
Lead of the honestly, half, and we took it into the third quarter, and we took it into the fourth quarter.
And will they
this
take
week
it to overtime
finish.
This week?
This week they finish.
Could be overtime. You don't know. You just don't know.
Well, they've done that dance.
True.
It didn't turn out so well.
But that was in the game where they had the lead at the half, so I'm trying to think maybe they can take a lead in overtime, Tony, by opening up with a field goal. right? And then we'll see how it plays out from
right.
there. As we know, the field goal on the opening drive of overtime no longer clinches, no longer a sudden death type situation. And those are fine. Look, if you want to hang on to those, that's fine. The texter goes on and say, to me, this points to the issue being more on coaching than the players. You guys are good enough to be tied winning late in games, but they keep finding ways to blow it. Could it be youth? Possibly, but to me, it points more to the inconsistency in the coaching staff. So he's saying, look, despite being in position to be competitive, we keep letting it get away late. That's one person's point of view. Another one from the 386 area code. Personally, I'm at the end of my rope and patience, but if Shad Khan signed off on a five-year rebuild, he should be a man of his word and give it 5 years. I don't know if he signed off on a five-year rebuild.
Who knows what he signed off on?
Right. We don't know what those conversations were, if there was a specific timeline. In fact, you'd be crazy to give, I think, a specific timeline as an incoming GM, although 5 years would seem like ample enough time, a half of a decade. If you say it that way, it seems a lot longer. A half of a decade, Tony, 5 years. Look, you can say, if that's what he said, but when you sign a guy to a contract, players get signed to contracts for 5 years, 4 years, all the time. Isn't that, in a sense, the team giving their word that we're going to bring you in for the next 4 years? And I get
sure.
the reality of the NFL. The reality is, guys are hired to get fired, quite frankly.
And if guys don't perform, they get fired.
Right.
That's what you're talking
right.
about.
Right. And look, I'm not, again, we're not sitting here preaching for anybody to get canned. Not happening. We're just trying to give you a feel for the landscape of how people are reacting to the current situation.
Sure. And I know people are pointing out the fact that, look, Shad Khan gave Mike Mularkey a vote of confidence in 2012, too. Yeah, he did. And Mularkey got fired at the end of 2012.
Right, he played out the year.
Right. He got the rest of the 2012 season, and then he was fired that year, where Shad Khan gave him that quote-unquote vote of confidence. And I don't think what Shad Khan said today means that in 2016, Gus Bradley is necessarily the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. What I think it means is, for the rest of the 2015 season, Gus Bradley is going to be the head coach of the Jags. That's what it means
I
to
agree.
Me, and it's going to be reevaluated when it gets to the end of it.
Right, maybe beyond. But for all intents and purposes, the conversation doesn't have to stop. You could talk about whatever you like, but the reality is the chance of it happening now, to me, is now down to zero.
Me too.
It's down to zero, barring some kind of, let's say put it at 1% or lower, barring some unforeseen set of calamitous circumstances, right? You always have to leave open the possibility
of
something crazy happening.
Yeah, if Gus Bradley, like, punched an opponent
right,
this
right,
weekend.
But just based on winning and losing, it's a 99% likelihood or greater that that Gus is going to at least get the remainder of the year and maybe here for a long time. I'd love for Gus to be here for the next decade plus, because that would mean he would turn it around at some point in time. Everybody, that's all anybody wants. Nobody has anything personal against Gus Bradley. They just want to win. Period. That's what they want. Here's another one on the 904, from the 904 area code on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Mike, as painful as it is and extremely frustrating right now, I believe in the direction of the Jags and the organization. Mr. Khan is a great leader, and I believe he will build a winner here in Jacksonville. Hashtag patience. Hashtag Rome built in 4 years. Hashtag defense needs help. All right, well, that's fine, too. You know what? We're just trying to give you an accurate representation of what we hear from people out there.
Yeah.
Here's another one.
I would settle for a nice farm at this point. That doesn't take 4 years.
Where's the 912 area code? Anybody have any clue on that one?
I don't know.
3 weeks of brutal losses, 40-year-old quarterback, a rookie quarterback. I had third row seats and $400 later, and a horrible Hoyer. Vote of what? I vote suck is suck. Okay, there's one point of view. On the other
it's
side,
up in Georgia.
Is it up in Georgia? All right.
Savannah, Brunswick, Statesboro.
Appreciate the feedback. Another one. Again, we asked you today the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. What's your reaction to Shad Khan's basic vote of confidence? It wasn't in those terms, but if you read the NFL.com article, which really the first half of it is on the Jaguars' ties to London and how that's all going. So it wasn't all just focused on this. And then they talk some football at the end of it. He said, hey, I think Blake Bortles is coming along. If you look at the metrics that we're tracking, his development is headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was asked about Caldwell and Bradley, and he basically said, look, I believe in the direction, the overall plan, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay? Don't quote me verbatim on this. I'll read it back to you in a little bit. But here's one that came in. What is your reaction? It's media speak. That's one there. And on it goes. So You're going to feel how you feel, I suppose, but we are interested in what exactly that is. So you can pick up the phone and dial 641-1010 and hop on board and express your opinion if you choose to. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday coming up a little bit later on. We've got your Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute injury report for week 7, and we will do that here live at EverBank as we do every single day. Jags getting on a plane tomorrow, headed to London. Bills have already landed. I've seen some of the pictures of the Bills arriving in London. Hey, Jags. Don't be that team that shows up with a bunch of those little hoverboard wheelie thinger mabobbers. Really? I mean, I saw a picture of LeSean McCoy. He's got his, like, his two little bags, two little carry-ons, and I guess the walk through the airport is so taxing, he's got to have this little hoverboard thing. It just, why that irritates me, Tony, I'm not quite sure, but it does. I could afford a hoverboard if I want one. I choose to not hover, I guess, is the thing. Or maybe they don't make one big enough to carry my fat ass. That's possible, too.
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that. I have not looked into the weight specs for one of those little fancy hoverboard deals. But I digress. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, what going on with the Jags over the last 24 hours, injury-wise, Tony, as the Jags made a series of roster moves yesterday. They call up Neil Sterling to the active roster from the practice squad as both Tony Washington and Corey Grant go on IR. Oh, I mean, just boom, boom, one after another. I mean, Tony Washington barely had a cup of coffee. Corey Grant, there goes your kick returner. With a hip flexor tear, Tony Washington had a severe hip flexor strain. What's going on with the hip flexors? Neil Sterling called up to the active roster from the practice squad. The Jags released Ziggy Hood from the team's reserve injured list after he passed his physical. They also released Jeff Toole from the practice squad as well. They signed undrafted rookie Rashid Bailey, a wide receiver, and second-year safety Craig Loston to the team's practice squad. Then today, another roster move just coming out moments ago. The Jags announced a promotion of third-year running back Joe Banyard to the active roster from the club's practice squad, and they released Craig Loston from the practice squad, who they had just signed there yesterday.
Right.
All right, so a lot of movement being undergone at the bottom end of the roster. That's what's churning. The Jags then signed Jeff Toole back to the practice squad and Jordan Leslie, a wide receiver, to the practice squad to fill those openings. So, again, a lot going on, but signing another running back to come up, maybe Banyard gets a crack at returning kicks. I'm not sure, but you lose Corey Grant. We don't know the status of TJ Yeldon. I've had several questions about Allen Robinson. Don't know, because they'll hold a press conference, Tony, about an hour from now, and we'll get injury updates for the first time this week on some of the guys that were banged up this past week.
Yeah, absolutely you will, and you'll find out who, if anybody's not going to be making the trip, who that's going to be today, you would think, too, for this football team as well.
All right, now let's enjoy for a moment here. In the midst of all this angst, understandable angst, and disappointment and what have you, or maybe hope and patience, whatever your emotion is, we could all enjoy pointing at someone else and mocking, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that America, Tony? Isn't that what made this country great?
I think it's why radio exists.
Is that why? as many of you noted on the text line and Twitter and every other variety of communication.
I was going to say, I was sitting here laughing as we started the state in football history.
This update brought to you by Tyler Devitt. I'm Tyler Devitt. Was a
little awkward, yeah.
A little awkward. Was there a sponsor that needed mentioning, Tyler, that didn't get mentioned properly there?
Well, I sponsored the update.
Oh, you did sponsor the update. How much did that cost you these days to get an update sponsorship? Do we know, or is that you know, proprietary information?
I'm not exactly too sure, but I know that I'm not the only one that's made mistakes.
No, well, you know what? And as Tyler's playing the game well, hey, you're going to point at me? Let me point my other four fingers.
It was a bad mistake.
Elsewhere.
It was bad.
All right? Now, it wasn't nearly that bad. It was a simple slip of the tongue.
I was about to say, we don't even have my disaster update, but you were with me during the worst update I've ever had, and it was you, me, and Josh Carney were doing the fantasy forecast one day, and I got caught off guard even having to do an update, and so I didn't have anything prepared to do the update, and I was like, you know what? I got the sponsor mention in, and I was like, I got nothing. Let's just get back to fantasy football talk. And it was about 20 seconds long, and then we were back into it.
Well, mine have always come, whether they've been updates or not, they typically come for not being able to breathe, right? You know, like everything I have, I put in these plastic sheets, right,
yeah,
that you put in like a folder, these little binder sheets, because newsprint or ink off the printer, I don't know if I'm allergic to it. I just can't breathe if it's, like, fresh. That smell just shuts my lungs down.
Yeah.
Okay? So I've had some of those where you try to, you know, just breathe your way through the whole update. So with that in mind, you know, mocking ourselves
let's
as much as
back.
Anyone else, let's take a quick look back at some of the foibles at 1010XL. By the way, Blaylock, is Blaylock back today or tomorrow?
She's making a return on the Brandy Show tonight, yeah.
Welcome back, Blaylock. Here's how she sounded on one particularly stellar update.
I'm Jessica Blaylock with your 1010XL 92.5 FM. Pekin Orthopedic. Oh, let me start that over. I'm Jessica Blaylock with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Pekin Orthopedic local sports update brought to you by Jacksonville Chrysler Jeep Dodge. I should never do updates when Beef is in the studio with me.
Well, obviously, she also forgot, in addition to those other fine sponsors, Tyler Devitt as the presenting sponsor of her update. So that was her first screw up there.
I guarantee you Beef was standing there about 3 inches from her face.
Oh, he
and
was.
I can only imagine what part of his body he may have been highlighting at that point in time. You know, he's very proud of his physique.
I know once with Donna Murphy, who would write out her whole update to Beef, went in there and just changed one word to fart.
Yeah.
Just to see if she would just read it. And she was doing the update and she kind of paused and chuckled and then
and this moved on because Donna's a pro, all right?
Right.
Mackenzie Thurkill had her moment just very recently.
Porter was arrested on 4 felony charges. He's being held on a $160,000 bond in the Alachua County Jail. I'm Mackenzie Thurkill. You're listening to 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Alachua.
Alachua. Good old Alachua there. Alachua, Alachua. It's all the same. Tomato,
Alachua.
Tomato. Now, I don't know whose body could disrupt Beef. But he did a pretty good job disrupting himself, not too far back in the past. Let's listen in.
Detroit sat Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, and Rasheed Wallace, and still managed to beat the Timberwolves 94-90.
Yeah, it's just, what did he have, a brain cramp?
Yeah,
could he just, not just read his own writing? Or?
He doesn't write them. He just goes like, off
who's
the top
that guy?
Of his
who's
head.
That guy with that patch of gray in his
and,
hair?
Who's that guy? Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, Rasheed Wallace. Oh, that guy. Yeah, Rasheed. Sheed. All right, so that was Beef's moment.
None of these are
the
close. This one's the worst.
We always save the best for last, don't we? You always want to save the best for last. We've thrown ourselves under the bus. I don't have any audio, at least that I know. There may be some floating around of my many mistakes on the air. I'm sure it would fill volumes, but this is one we always particularly enjoy. Listen in.
Kansas State All-American freshman Michael Beasley has declared for the NBA draft. Beasley, 26 points, 12 rebounds for the Kansas State Wildcats, has declared and will be a top 3 pick in the NBA draft.
Is Hacker got an issue with the newsprint too, or what?
Oh my goodness.
I think somebody swallowed down the wrong hole or something. I don't know what was going on with my man Hack there. But in that light, brought to you by Tyler Devitt, doesn't even bear mentioning,
no.
Does it?
Out of the five, man. I might be like 4 or 5 in the totem pole.
Oh, you're way down the list, man. You need to screw up better so we've got something on you. That was nothing compared to the rest of these folks. But some of the fine professional quality broadcasting that we've provided for you here at 1010XL. Nothing but the best over the years. All right, let's get a couple of calls in. We needed a little levity, right, in this month. We needed a little bit of levity, Tyler, so thank you very much. Let's go to David next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Great. What's up?
Well, you know, first of all, I want to say that I've been in Jacksonville all my life, born and raised here. So, you know, when Jacksonville came, I was absolutely thrilled. You know, I think that if anything that Shad could change, he needs to do two things. One, he needs to change the water or something that we're drinking, because we seem to have like all these injuries more than almost like any other team. And maybe that deals with coaching a little bit, because I know every team goes through injuries, but it seems like with us, I mean, it's like, you know, Lee, Robinson, Hearn. I mean, all these guys seem to get hurt, and it's like one right after the other, and we just don't know how to coach him up afterwards or the rest of the team up. But also, I think that Khan needs to break the Boselli curse. It seems like the minute we put Boselli on that, you know, on the draft for the Browns and or Houston, we just started going down a hill. And I'm blaming Boselli on this one. I think Boselli cursed us afterwards. I don't know. But
I'd personally love to point the finger at Tony. Tony, honestly, other than, I don't know, the five Pro Bowls and six outstanding years on the field, and
maybe being every, the best player and the in the best history of the franchise. Setter.
That was a Tony getting taken by the Houston Texans was one of the best things that could happen to this franchise, because they took a boatload of salary cap. You remember the rules of that expansion draft, Tony?
Anybody taken off your roster,
none of that counted against you. So it was a beautiful thing. They cleared so much cap space in that one day. So go ahead. What's your other point?
Well, I mean, obviously he might have cursed us afterwards because we didn't do that, but it's all, and I don't know if it's the injuries. I mean, the injuries have been just, it seems like it's what's been killing us. I mean, it's the fact that we just do not seem to know how to coach up the team when we lose a key player. I mean, for last week was a prime example. I mean, TJ Yeldon has been getting the boatload of the carries, and suddenly, we suddenly have to be passing it because the rest of the rushing attack has been nothing. Last year, Gearhart get hurt, and okay, well, luckily Denard Robinson steps up, but then suddenly Denard gets hurt, and we have nothing for the rest of the season. Wide receivers get hurt. We don't know what to do. It's like if one or two guys get hurt, we're in scramble mode. I don't know if it's us or if it's the water that they're drinking, but something's seems to be going on where we're just into not respond well to injuries.
All right, well, appreciate the call. I'll say this, you know, the Jags have definitely had their share of significant injuries. Every team in the league deals with injuries, Tony. Again, all the guys you're going to miss, you say before the season, knowing that Dante Fowler's already out for the year, but if you say the guys that you can reasonably expect to show up in week three against Indy, right? We'll take these guys out. You take out Andrew Luck. Week four. Who's got the edge? They lost to Andrew freaking Luck, man. Everyone's got injuries.
Hasselbeck.
Everyone's got injuries. Got to deal with it.
I mean, it's just the way it is. You're watching Pittsburgh float through not having Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben Roethlisberger. They just beat a very good
Arizona team. 4-2.
With their third string quarterback.
They played their first 2 weeks without Le'Veon Bell. They haven't had Martavis Bryant, who just had two touchdowns
until this weekend.
That he just returned from. I mean, they're dealing with serious problems as well with top-tier talented
Right, and whether those were suspension or injuries, they were their starters being absent from the team.
Absolutely.
Pouncey's been out the whole year for them.
Yeah.
You know, their best offensive line.
They're 4-2.
Right.
They're 4-2. The difference is the reason the Jaguars can't overcome losing those types of players is because they don't have the depth or talent that a team like Pittsburgh does.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
And the ones that do, even in the positions where the drop-off is not as significant, they're still making way too many mental errors. Now, some of that may be due to the fact that the guys that are in there aren't your regular guys, but some regular guys are making mental errors too.
Absolutely.
So, you know, all right. Look, appreciate the call. Don't completely agree with the premise, but nonetheless, thank you for the feedback. Let's get Paul up here next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Paul.
How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I'm not your polished, football fan that I can rattle off names and stats and everything, but I'm a firm believer in body language. And I'll start off with that. When Bortles, in the fourth quarter, he threw his arms up and you could tell the guy was beat. And the quarterback is the leader of the team. And if he's showing that, then the rest of them have got to be, doing the same thing. Now, the other point is in the Tampa game, I believe in body language, and they had no respect for us at all. And that's perception, I would say throughout, the football, The other thing, as far as Shaq Khan, he's a businessman, and he goes by business models. And anybody that starts a business, you have a 3 to 5 year window that you expect by at least the third year you're starting to make money. And then you improve on it to the point to where you can pay yourself, you know, and this, that, the other thing. So I can go along with his loyalty to that, but somewhere along the line, he's going to have to look at the coaching staff and whoever is not paying attention to scouts, or they don't have good scouts or whatever. But in the Texas game, Hoyer was, you know, even though it was close, I mean, both of them teams, you know, are not exactly your top tier. But when you have a quarterback consistently throwing to a guy that's making plays, you would think they would make adjustments somewhere and double team that guy, you know, to where you take him out of the picture totally, or try to take him out.
All right, Paul, let me jump in. Let me jump in, because we got some other people we want to get to, but I appreciate the points you made. A, we talked about that, the latter one, really the first couple days of the week.
Yep.
And I agree with you. At some point, I thought Tavon House did a good job up to a point. And, you know, you blow one coverage, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to change everything, because everything had been okay up to then. There reaches a point where the guy's chewing you up and you try to switch it up. I agree with that. And they didn't really adjust much, and they felt like that was the best plan that they had, and it clearly didn't turn out to be good enough. Now, DeAndre Hopkins is good. I'm not making excuses. I'm just trying to point out both sides, because I know as soon as you say that, people are going to say, DeAndre Hopkins, have you seen what he's done? Yes, I have, and that's why I mention it. I know how good DeAndre Hopkins is, but I also agree with the point that you know, they could have switched things up in their approach to covering him. Now, as far as body language goes, I can't speak for what's in the Bucks' minds, but I will say this. As a tweeter sent in this morning, when I mentioned the litany of people that are out for Buffalo, the Bills fans are probably thinking, oh, this is the week to have them out, isn't it? I don't doubt that.
No, I'm sure they are.
I guarantee you every team in the league thinks, oh, whew, we got Jacksonville this week.
No,
that's the fact of the matter.
They should. And until you change that kind of storyline and that kind of thinking, you do that by beating these teams when you should beat them. And to the first point, body language from Blake Bortles, I agree to a point. You don't want to see your starting quarterback getting down on himself, and I think guys, especially on a young team, probably do react to that. I also think Peyton Manning has some of the worst body language in the history of the National Football League. When something goes wrong for Peyton Manning, he is a baby about things that go wrong, and he's found a way to win and win and win some more in this league. He's going to be, you know, statistically the greatest quarterback that's ever played in the history of this game when he retires here over the course of the next couple of years. So I don't think it's all body language. I think you earn the opportunity to have really bad body language if you're a guy who's winning, and I'm not sure Blake's at that point yet.
All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. Dr. John Von Thrawn from Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute will weigh in. Are the Jags experiencing more injuries in his eyes than other teams are? And if so, is there any attributable reason to that other than Buzzard's luck? Look it up. All right, it's not that complicated. Anyway, 641-1010 if you'd like to make a phone call in the final 15 minutes or so of the program, which of course is brought to you by Tyler Devitt. And you're welcome to do that, or on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Our Wednesday sponsor, in addition to Tyler Devitt, is Metro Rooter. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, who's stepping up to the Metro Diner chat counter? In for Dr. Stephen Lucy, Dr. John Von Thrawn, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Dr. Von Thrawn, how are you?
Doing well. Nice to be here today.
Are you here to audition for our latest update anchor? What do you think? What do you got? Anything?
I don't think I can handle it.
No, it's a lot of stress to know that inevitably Tony and I are looking for your first misstep to turn it on you in a mocking fashion. That's what we do here. What about this team? You were sitting in here for the last 15 minutes or so. You heard some of these phone calls, and particularly one caller said this team has just beset with injuries, and certainly they have a lot of injuries. Football's a game of injuries, right? A bunch
Absolutely.
Of injuries. In your professional opinion, is this team suffering more injuries? I'm not asking you to evaluate the personnel that they're given to and their importance to the team, but just in terms of the sheer number of injuries compared to other years or other teams around the league.
Yeah, I don't know that you can say that. You know, you look around the league, there's, as you said, every team has injuries. And I think we're sitting inside the Jacksonville bubble, and that's what our focus is around here. All seemingly a lot of injuries for the Jacksonville team, but then as you already talked about, I bet you if you're on the Buffalo Bills Today radio show, they're probably lamenting all the horrible injuries to key players, and I mean they probably think their injury situation's a lot worse than the Jaguars situation.
I'm sure you're right, or at least comparable to the Jags situation, and I'm sure there are some teams that have escaped the major injury bug up to this point, and that happens too, and that's a bit of a roll of the dice. At least I presume it's a roll of the dice. When you look at to me, hip flexor, I'm glad you just explained it. We were just talking about TJ Yeldon having a groin injury. You said that's the injury of the week, and I was like, well, isn't the injury of the week a hip flexor? That's basically the same thing is what you're telling
same
me.
Same area, sure.
All right. Because to me, with my vast knowledge of anatomy, for some reason I just pictured in my mind the hip flexor was on the outside of the hip. Apparently it's not. It's on the inside of the hip.
It's more in the front of the hip.
More in the front. Okay.
Yeah, when you flex your leg up and bring your knee up.
Clearly, I would assume, I say clearly, I assume the training staff knows how to properly stretch these guys out, right? I mean,
Of course.
I say that because some people are like, what's the training staff doing or not doing to get these guys ready? Is this just bad luck? How do you attribute when you have a rash of soft tissue injuries? Is there a better approach to take? Chip Kelly, his group has taken a more, I don't know, holistic approach, but a more cutting-edge approach. They try to, they do all kinds of body mass composition and chemical analysis of each player, and they provide them their own specific protein shakes. But the bottom line is they've been one of the healthiest teams in the league the last couple of years. Is that just dumb luck? How do you see it?
Oh, I don't know if I don't know that I call it dumb luck. I mean, it's just football. Some teams stay healthy.
That's what I mean, though. I mean, it's just the bounce of the ball and the way it goes.
Right, absolutely. And that, I think that has a lot to do with, the teams that stay healthy seem to obviously have more success as the season goes on. And you can't – it's football. People are going to get hurt. It's part of the game, and some years are worse than other years for certain teams.
When you've got a groin injury and you're a running back in particular, on the scale of injuries that you can have that are tough to play at your optimum level, where does that fall?
I'd say that's pretty high because the hip flexor is important in running and sprinting and breaking tackles and so forth, so it puts a lot of stress on the hip.
People hear contusion and they think boo-boo. You got a bruise. Get back out there, right? Allen Robinson had a pretty significant collision of his shin, and Tony and I have talked about this. For some reason, it's come up the last couple of weeks. Somebody's going to develop a shin guard, like a soccer shin guard that's lightweight and durable, and maybe it's going to be more narrow or something, because Fred Taylor said this to us in the post game. I don't know if we said it on the air or we were just talking off the air. He said, those are the ones that he goes, you hit me in the chest all day. I got padding all over you. They really don't even hurt that much, even when you get knocked down. You get those cornerbacks coming up, putting a helmet or a shoulder pad on your shin. That's one of the most painful things that can happen on the football field. And I've always watched that and thought, that's just bone on helmet. That cannot be good. So when we hear contusion, we think, oh, I walked into the doorknob and I have a bruise. I'm fine. So Allen Robinson must be fine. Obviously, not all contusions are made the same.
No, I think getting hit by a DB's helmet is a little different than the doorknob.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do we know anything on Allen, or I guess we're waiting for Gus to update the status on him today?
Yeah, sure. And so with the contusion, that doesn't necessarily cause a lot of problems with the muscles or tendons. So hopefully that's something they can ice down and get his symptoms under control to the point where he can play, but we'll see.
What about, the difference between a contusion and a bone bruise? What are we talking? When we hear bone bruise, you think, I understand I can bruise my muscle or my skin, and I see that discoloration. What exactly is a bone bruise?
Well, it's kind of a contusion to the bone. It's not.
Is there actual damage to the bone?
Well, if you take an MRI, you see what are called single changes. So it does change the blood flow to that area.
Okay.
It's, not quite like a fracture would change the blood flow, but it definitely causes some changes to the bone.
Those fold-out backyard lawn chairs, the tri-fold ones, right?
Sure.
If you were to kick one of those, like aluminum things, with your shin really hard, would it be possible to dent your bone?
I don't think dentant.
You want to feel my leg? All right, because I set you up for that one. I've got one that I swear to you, I dented about 20 years ago, and that's what it feels like. You had no idea where I was going with that, so sorry
all right,
about
that's
that.
All right.
All right, final thought, just from your observation, Blake Bortles, he had, what was it, the AC joint, right?
Sure.
He was dealing with, he practiced all week, and last Wednesday he's like, what? Who said I wasn't going to practice, right? I mean, from what you could tell, did that impede him at all in his play this past Sunday?
It did not appear to. Yeah, with AC injuries, that's something that you can certainly play through. I mean, it hurts some, but it's not something that's going to like affect the rotator cuff or other structures involved in
it. So pain tolerance, pain management issue. I mean, he threw it 50-something times. I assume he's able to tolerate the pain. So not a question. All right, Dr. Von Thrahn, good to see you. Let's have less lengthy conversations about injuries. I know that's not within your control necessarily, but that's what we hope for going in the future. Dr. John Von Thrahn, one of 31 physicians at Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute, the exclusive sports medicine providers of your Jacksonville Jaguars. JOI is Jacksonville's Orthopedic Institute. Thanks for stopping by.
Great to be here.
All right, there you go. Your JOI injury report here with Dr. John Von Thrahn. Let's close it out, Tony, with a look at the fan feedback spotlight brought to you every day by the Tom Bush family of dealers. As we asked you today, your reaction to Shad Khan, basically giving a vote of confidence to Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell, which I read to mean no changes in the offing, certainly throughout the regular season. How did people react to that?
From Chris, we got irritated, but Shad is a smart businessman, still a Jags fan nonetheless. From Richard, I'm happy because a vote of confidence almost always ends with the coach getting fired. From Irish Jaguar, he's not going to publicly say anything negative about them anyway, so why expect any different? From Brian, complete apathy. From Blake Bortles, facts. Blake Bortles throwing touchdowns and saving jobs since 2014. From Joey, does that guarantee a win? Then I don't really care. Hashtag just win, damn it. From Eric, I wasn't expecting anything to happen until after the season. Anyway, from Nathan, let this year finish, next year too. New coach means starting over again. Let's see this through. From Clarence, not a fan of firing a coach mid-season. Reevaluate at the end of the year. From Demetrius, Shad made a commitment to this regime, and like it or not, Gus will finish this season and will be back for year four. And from Duval Doom, there's nothing to be gained from firing him now, despite the understandable desire for change.
All right, here's a few selected ones from the Facebook page, and I select them because they're representative of many others that are on there. This one from Matthew Weldon. I certainly understand the reclamation project that those two had before them, but the GM has had three drafts and still has left money under the cap. Bradley and his part of the process positivity is a way to approach players, but sometimes young guys need a foot in the arse as well. Let's see. Tony Bellucci says, I've seen coaches the players get votes of confidence and get fired shortly after. Look at David Garrard. He got let go almost immediately after a luncheon, kickoff luncheon featuring him as a starting quarterback. Shad's going to proclaim confidence in all his employees until he is ready to replace them. Joshua Lee writes that he's either a very bad liar and disillusioned or extremely disconnected about his franchise as an owner. I don't expect him to make any abrupt organizational changes after reading this interview, but if we are still a one-win team by the end of November and Bradley still does his job, the majority of this fan base will absolutely lose it. Others say, Brandy Boyer says, it's a smart move. If you start at the basher, make a situation more unstable, he's likely to lose the team and or his fan base. With any team, there are the diehards, but when an owner starts publicly putting his team down, he will even lose them. Eric Mooster said, I think this is the position he has to take with the media. If he blasts the guy publicly, then you can't keep him around. He would look like a fool, which he is not. We don't know what has been said behind closed doors. Bottom line is, man, just win this week, and let's talk about how they won and heading into the bye, and are you now satisfied with 2-5, right? 2-5, much more satisfying than 1-6. It's all you can do this week is go out and win a football game for the first time in over a month. So get it done, Jags. Win for the first time in London. Just win, period. Wherever it is, here, there, anywhere else, win, 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 and then enjoy your bye week a little bit, and then don't squander any little bit of momentum you can get off of one win and go win some more in the second half of the season. And then
let's
win some more after that.
Let's hope, man.
Win, baby. All right. That'll do it for us today. Thanks to Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial, septic systems, restaurant, grease trap service, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has your solution. Same day service, weekends included. The right people with the right equipment is the reason that Metro Rooter has been serving Jacksonville and the surrounding area since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Thanks to John Osier for stopping by with his Oh No segment. Thanks to Dr. John Von Thron of Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute. Thanks to Tyler Debbitt for sponsoring the program and the updates today. For Tyler, for Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, and for all of you out there, we appreciate you listening. XL Primetime coming up next. I'm Mike Dempsey signing off for Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flap. Woo!
Duval.